Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Baywatched podcast. I'm your host, Dave. Hello, everybody. With me, as ever, is my podcasting pal, Rich. Hi, Rich.
Hello.
And returning, one of our semi-co-hosts is Hannah. Hi, Han.
Hi. Thanks for having me back after my hiatus.
Very excited to have you back.
Very excited to be here. Thrilled that we've got the tech working really well. It's all so smooth.
It's an improvement, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. So slick. Got so professional.
No one at home listening is going to realise this, but we're not actually all in the room together. You know, we are doing this over the wonders of the internet. We are properly social distancing. In fact, Hannah is quarantined, aren't you, for your trip to Spain?
She is.
Yeah, I am. So I've really had nothing better to do with my time but this than this podcast, really.
And I've got to be honest, if I was quarantined for 2 weeks, then I'm not sure watching this episode of Baywatch would have been my choice.
Oh my god, no, you brought me in for a right dud. I've come back from...
No! You are wrong.
Rubbish.
Really? Dave, this is awful.
This is a good episode, and I will not have a bad... Well, maybe a few bad words, but this is a decent one.
This is not a decent episode. There are so many pointless montages in this episode. It's ridiculous. There are more pointless montages than there is episode. It's just crazy. Also, lowest rated episode of the series on IMDb with a whopping 5.2
oh,
out of 10.
Oh, man. I don't usually watch anything below an 8.
I don't know how you're going to watch any of this series, then.
You can't. You can't. Nothing gets an 8.
This is a decent episode, and I like the storyline, so I'm going to read out the bio on IMDb, and then we can really just crack on with this fabulous episode, which worked from start from finish. So here we go. Mitch hooks up with his and Craig's old flame, which makes Craig jealous. Eddie buys a nice car cheaply and only realises he was swindled when he gets arrested for driving a stolen car. Which is not all completely true, but it's the bare bones of the episode are in that. Don't you agree?
I guess. Yeah.
Which, we do only have two plots this time. Only two stories. Normally three, sometimes even four. So, you know, they did put a bit more into this one. And I would like to say straight off the bat that Craig is not jealous. Yeah, Craig isn't jealous. Craig is sad. Like, Craig is sad because of his friend. He's not jealous because his friend's getting with a girl. You know, he is sad, bless him. And I felt really sorry for him.
What do you mean? Sad that he lost his friend? Sad that his friend betrayed him? Or sad
he's sad that his best friend went behind his back and got with his girlfriend. You know, jealous. He didn't want to get back with her, did he? You know, he's quite happy with being married to Gina. You know, it makes... I think the blurb makes Craig sound bad. And actually, he's not the bad one in this story, I don't think.
Oh, definitely not.
I don't think anyone's the bad guy in the story. It's just mates going through a crisis, and I was there for it. I loved that there was only two storylines. How refreshing. It's brilliant.
True. It did mean they could put more stupid montages in, so, you know, that was nice.
I'm throwing it out there, though. I don't think there were just two storylines, because you're forgetting something that was really crucial and that did warrant its own montage, apparently, which was the boat race. So random.
I've got so much to say about the boat race. Yeah. It's so much about the boat race.
Are we talking about the intro boat race or the Dory boat race?
No, the one at the end, but let's start with that montage that was completely random. So they described it as the lifeguard games. Now, I didn't watch the episode before, so perhaps that was nothing to do with the episode. Right, okay. So I...
Hannah, what we've learned to understand since you've been away, that nothing in the previous episode corresponds with the next episode. Oh. That is the beauty about Baywatch. You can just drop it when you like, and you don't need to know jack shit about what's been going on, and you can just enjoy for it what you are. The only thing they've seemed to be carrying along from A to B is that Shawnee and Eddie are now a couple. That's
wow.
It.
Okay. Well, good to know. I've missed absolutely nothing.
Absolutely.
Great.
No.
So yeah. So when it came in with the lifeguard games, well, first of all, it was obviously a very weird montage, as they always are. So it was a nighttime series of obstacle course races. I didn't really know what was going on. I thought it would get explained. I thought it was an establisher for the rest of the episode, or as you would, seemed logical. but it wasn't. Not only that, they were all so serious that I thought it was some sort of late night training exercise. When they said it was a game, I thought that too. Yeah, I thought, well, this didn't look fun at all. Nobody looked happy to be there. They took it very seriously.
Also, how come no one but Noomi was in it? It was only Michael Newman that was in that montage, none of the other lifeguards. So he's the only one that's actually good enough to be in the lifeguard games. No one else from Baywatch, it seems. Because obviously he's the only actual real lifeguard. And there's probably real lifeguard games, I'd imagine, they're filming. I imagine they've probably just rocked up when that's actually happening. Because it is actually a thing. They do have the lifeguard games. You know, it really
do
is an event. Yeah. It's a real thing.
I would go if it looked a little bit more jolly, but everybody took it so seriously. And I know they're competitive, but blimey, they need to get some beers on board.
It had a good turnout, though. There was lots of people watching, especially for a nighttime sport, it seemed. But a lot of slow-mo, wasn't it? I've just written why. I was welcome. I'm just as confused as you two. I thought this was going to go do something with the rest of the story, but absolutely nothing.
No, just gets a mention for Mitch and Craig, doesn't it? That's all. And it explains why their friends are back in town, doesn't it? That's kind of the...
Oh, wow.
The two kind of blondie-haired guys who I'm pretty sure are a couple. Do we think they're a couple?
Maybe.
Mitch and Craig's blonde-haired friends? I thought they were a couple.
One of them was very hairy.
One of them so hairy. I've written that down. I was like, this dude is hairier than James. And that is pretty hairy.
I didn't know you could grow hair on that part of your arm, your upper arm, like he did. That was a completely new thing for me. And I'm 35 now, and I've never seen hair quite like it on the top of your arm. Between your shoulder and your elbow, which I thought was a safe place for hair.
I think it's a 40-plus thing. It just starts sprouting after 40. Back hair, shoulder hair.
These guys are not 40 yet.
True. And to be clear, I'm not speaking from experience. I'm 35, and I don't have any shoulder hair. It sounded like I was educated in that topic.
I'm 40 in December, so I'll let you know, Han.
Yeah,
I'll let you know if that happens.
I look forward to it.
I have to say, the older I'm getting, hairier I'm getting, like my eyebrows and stuff. And the nostril hair seems to be popping up from nowhere, which I'm not appreciating right now and stuff like that. But yeah, that part of your arm's just weird. He was very... But Rich, they could be a couple. But in the early 90s, maybe it wasn't the thing to come out.
I'm here for it.
Well, they had no interest in Alison, did they? So
no, true.
I think they're a couple. They kind of bicker like a couple.
And they're always together.
They are, true. Yeah, they're always together.
It seemed a bit... Well, a hugely elaborate way to introduce them. They could have just said, these are our friends from out of town. Probably one line would have explained it rather than a 45-minute montage. Some lifeguard games that had no relevance to anything. They did. I did wonder it was really trying to sort it out in my head. Like maybe the boat race was a continuation of the lifeguard, you know, like round two of the lifeguard game. No, it wasn't. It wasn't.
I don't think it was. Wasn't. I don't even know what that
I
was
think
for.
It was, yeah.
The dory race at the end.
Wasn't that part of the lifeguard? I thought it was part of the lifeguard games, was it not?
Well, who knows?
Oh, I don't know.
It looked a lot more serious, the early montage, the opening, compared to the... For me, I thought it was like Vets Day at the end. Of the dory, so we'll let the old lifeguards have a go, because they had to wear safety helmets for some reason. I'm not quite sure why.
Put that down as well.
In a boat with water.
Why are they wearing bike helmets?
Wouldn't that just make you sink faster if you were drowning? You just sink.
It can't help.
Quicker.
It's not like there's rocks anywhere. It's not like you're canoeing or anything. We've gone from A to Z. Straight away.
Yeah, we have, yeah.
So we've got two storylines. We're just going to carry on with the reunion storyline, which is actually a good name for the episode, Rich, I thought. So that ticked another positive.
Yeah, for a first time, you actually got the name of the episode right. That's new for Baywatch.
That is true.
You know, I thought they'd I thought they would have called it something like, I don't know, the Reckoning, or the something completely different, the Hurricane, or you know, something that had absolutely no bearing.
The Sands of Time.
They could
have
called it the Lifeguard Games. That would have had no bearing.
The Sands of Time. Oh. That is definitely a Baywatch one. You've got it there. You've nailed it there, Dave. That's what they should have called
it. Enough Baywatch. Getting older.
The reunion made sense.
So, Rich, you do it, because you understand storylines better than me, and I'm just going to chip in to tell you that this was a good storyline once in a while.
So essentially what has happened is there is a... Lifeguard Games has brought Mitch and Craig's friends back to Baywatch, and they have also invited somebody called Alison, who it turns out used to go out with Craig, And then when Craig left for college, she then got it on with Mitch. And turns out when she turns up that there is still definitely some chemistry between her and Mitch. Mitch has this very awkward party, which I think is the next bit that we're at, really, isn't it? This horrible party with more demonstration of Mitch's terrible parenting.
Yep.
So yeah, they're having this party, which is a little bit of a sausage fest, because it's basically Craig and Mitch and their two friends. And they're just kind of cooking stuff on the barbecue, and that's about
sausages.
It. And then this Allison person turns up, and Craig looks immediately crestfallen, I think, and kind of awkward, whereas Mitch is obviously very happy to see her. I have to say, I did not warm to Allison. I didn't like her very much.
What a bitch.
I was kind of sort of indifferent to her. I didn't really. She was neither here nor there. I didn't dislike her, but she. I don't think she really had enough airtime. Actually, there wasn't enough time on.
Hang on. Are you saying a female character does not have enough airtime in series one of Baywatch?
I know.
Are you saying another female character has been underwritten for another week? No, I am not believing you. It is. Not on Baywatch.
I think that Allison's kind of the true villain, though, to be honest. I mean, I know Mitch kind of betrayed Craig, but Craig, you know, Craig gone away. But she, her and Craig were still together. She's the one that did the cheating. You know, I think that Mitch takes some blame. But, you know, Allison's the real villain, as far as I'm concerned.
Oh, I didn't get that they were still together. I thought they'd broken up because it was long distance. But the problem was just that he'd jumped in a little bit too quickly with an ex.
He broke the bro code.
Yeah,
which was
don't date your mate's exes.
Yeah,
yeah. So I don't think they cheated.
No, they weren't exes because I'm pretty sure they weren't exes. But anyway, I don't know.
I just don't think they had the talk about breaking up. I think officially, unofficially, they had broken up, but they haven't had the chat.
Right. You know,
like, this is crazy kind of thing. This is not working.
I don't think Craig is jealous. You know, I don't think, he definitely doesn't want to get back with Allison.
No, no.
Because, you know, he's got Gina and he's very happily married. But I think what he is it's brought up the kind of pain and heartbreak. We all know that Craig and Mitch's friendship is the most important thing in this show. And I think it just brings up something. They never talked about it. That's the other thing they sort of say at this point, is that Craig and Mitch never talked about what happened with Allison. And so that's always been like a block in their friendship. And that's what Craig's upset about, I think, is, you know, it kind of brought to the fore the break in their friendship, I guess. So I don't think it's right to say that he was jealous. Sad, bless him.
Agreed.
He's just disappointed. He's not angry. He's just disappointed.
Yeah.
It's so much worse.
So much worse.
Than being angry, to be honest.
So Mitch has this party. Can I just talk about the party? Because it's just another example of Mitch's shit parenting yet again. Is that essentially Hobie comes to him and says, "Dad, I'm really tired and this party is keeping me awake." And he's like, "Oh, go and have some fun. Go talk to random strangers that you don't know. Go on. Go and have conversations with adults you've never met before. Off you go, kid. It's fine. No bedtime for you tonight."
I like how he said, "Go and mingle." I don't know how to mingle now when I'm 35. Yeah. Definitely as a kid, I wouldn't know how to mingle.
I hated mingling. I still hate mingling.
Yeah, exactly.
Also, we've got to bear in mind that Mitch and who, I can't remember what his ex-wife's name is now, but they've literally only just split up. Gail. So Mitch and Gail have only really just split up. And so Hobie is still coming to terms with his mum and dad not being together. And he's at a party where he doesn't know a load of adults, past his bedtime, watching his dad get off with another woman. What's that all about?
Yeah, that's true. Oh.
Come on, Mitch.
Yeah.
Have a bit of class, mate.
Mitch and Allison, ooh la la, I've put. It's the most, ooh. The dance and the kissing is just...
Well,
enough to give you nightmares.
What I thought was the weirdest thing of all was the fact that this house party had slow dancing, like at the end of a disco. Have you ever been at a house party where you've asked somebody to dance and then taking them to the living room floor? May I have this dance? at a house party, drunk on Smirnoff Ice. I've never once asked anybody to dance. and then proceeded to slow dance with them.
I've never been to a house party when they put a slow dance.
Well, no, either. No. So that was.
I don't think I've ever been to a house party where I made it to the end of the night. Like, I'd normally been ejected by doing something stupid, like getting my head stuck between the banisters.
Yeah. True story, ladies and gentlemen. True story.
True story.
Yeah.
I once went to a house party at a friend's house, and they had an outside toilet, and we thought it'd be a really good idea to stand at one end of the garden and throw our beer bottles and try and get them into the toilet, which everyone was rubbish at, and it just smashed beer bottles everywhere, until I actually did get a beer bottle straight into the toilet, which smashed the toilet. Not the beer bottle. That was fully intact. It smashed the toilet into 100 pieces. That was a very expensive house party, so I had to buy them a new toilet.
To be honest,
did they move the toilet to the indoors?
Well, exactly. Given that it was not 1940, you probably did them a favour. probably built an indoor toilet.
It was a rented house, so I think their landlord was annoyed that the toilet had been smashed up. I was like,
first, I thought you were going to say that you were stood far away from the toilet and you had to try and pee into the toilet from a distance.
Yeah, I thought that's what you
meant. And that also would have been a fun game.
That would have been a fun game, but no, that was not the game we were playing. And probably slightly less expensive, that game, I'd imagine.
Probably.
But yeah, turns out...
Did you buy them a nice toilet back? Was it a nice toilet you paid for?
I think it was like £50 for a new toilet, so...
That is cheap.
Mm. Yeah. Well, it was a while ago. It's a few years ago now.
There's 1940s. Like
house parties very often these days.
While the blitz is going on, apparently.
The neighbours probably thought that's what it was with the smashing bottle sign.
Yeah. I think we also put a bunch of bananas in the microwave for an hour.
What happened?
Which was funny. Turns out they explode. They explode.
Do they?
they really explode.
Oh.
Probably after about 15 minutes. I don't think you need an hour.
Yeah, we put them in the microwave for an hour and then left. Just
did you like this person?
Yeah, I don't even know why
we did
it.
Were you invited to this house? Yeah,
okay. Yeah, we were invited. It was a friend. I don't know why we did it. It was funny at the time.
But
anyway.
To be young...
I'm a lot more grown up these days, honestly.
You are. Now you critique Baywatch talking about the parenting skills. Things have changed.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I definitely didn't have kids when I was doing this ridiculous stuff. But yeah, no, I think,
that's true.
We've talked about Mitch's poor parenting. And I actually, again, felt sorry for Hobie. I know Hobie is the worst character in Baywatch, but I did feel sorry for him because his dad is absolutely useless. Now, there's even a bit later on where Mitch says, oh, I bet you're sick of this. I bet if you don't want to see lovey-dovey stuff, you better get going. Like, get out of the house.
Yeah.
I thought, Jesus, poor old Hobie.
Shit's going to get wild, son.
Yeah.
Yeah. If the house
is knocking, don't come rocking or whatever it is.
Wrong way around, but we get
it. Yeah, you know what I mean. Don't come, basically, don't come home, kid.
If there's a sock on the door,
stay
away.
Oh, God.
Oh, man. Do you know what I really liked about this? When they were having their argument, Craig and Mitch, about Craig lending Mitch $2,000 to buy a Jeep, all I could think about was, of course it's a Jeep. Mitch loves Jeeps, doesn't he? All he's ever owned is Jeeps.
It's just James.
By Jeep? They do talk about Jeeps a lot.
They do. They massively do. He loves a Jeep. He doesn't own anything else.
So the party's over. Craig goes home, right?
Do you reckon the roof has been fixed since the tropical storm last week?
I hope so. Hannah would have missed this, but there was a tropical storm last week and Mitch's house was having the roof fixed. And so all through the tropical storm, his house just had a tarpaulin protecting it, which miraculously somehow stayed on, even though half of Baywatch headquarters got blown down. So, but the tarpaulin stayed on Mitch's house. God knows how that happened.
This sounds like a great episode. I'm really sad that I didn't watch that one.
No, this episode's much better. This has a beginning, middle and end.
Okay.
This episode is not better.
Yes, it does. Yes, it is. I'm sorry. I was fulfilled with this episode. It set out the players. They said, here's the characters. That's what's happening. They had a middle when they had the argument, which was fine. And then they had the ending where they made up again. Beginning,
that
middle, and
true,
end.
That is true, Dave. Perfect. That's true. It had a beginning, a middle, and end. But they were all really boring.
No, they weren't.
So for you, narrative structure is everything. So it doesn't matter what the narrative is, as long as it's structured.
Yes, at this point. Yes. And it all made sense. We all made sense. I didn't have to ask a billion questions. Like, where did this guy go? And who's this? And where's that from? There wasn't all these characters. There was like four characters. There was Alice and Gibson, the mates, which I have to ask a question. Were they lifeguards? Are they still lifeguards? They're two mates?
I think they're ex-lifeguards, aren't they?
So they've given it up because they thought it doesn't make enough money, apparently.
Yeah.
Or they just, you know, don't live near a beach anymore. I don't know.
Maybe. But yeah, because they were part of the reunion.
And when they
stuff,
reunion,
so they were
is that reunion from like rookie school or...
Who knows? Wasn't explained,
past
was
employees.
It?
So,
you know.
I've also got another question. It's about the, I don't know if you've got this, Rich. It's about the time-wise. How old is Hobie meant, as they mentioned Hobie to be in the previous episode?
Yeah. So Hobie was 13, like, two episodes ago, and he's 12 again today. Yeah. I just think Mitch doesn't know how old his kid is.
That has also happened. But also Craig mentions he went to New York 12 years ago, and that's when this Mitch...
That's
got
a very good point.
Oh, my God. She's Alison.
I don't know. Maybe.
Child.
And also, don't you go to college when you're like 18 or something? So that would make Mitch and Craig, what, 32, 34?
No, I know.
Come on, guys.
You if you go
like,
when you're 18 and it was 12
like
years
you're
ago.
40. Yeah, they're not 30.
They're not 30, no way.
This is research, Baywatch writers, and you've got it all wrong. That's my only...
So I did question that too, is that... How did Craig go to New York 12 years ago if Hobie is 13? But then later in the episode, they say Hobie's 12, but he wasn't 2 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago, he was definitely 13. So I just don't know.
It's always changed.
Who knows?
It's very confused. You'd think they would have a timeline of just something they would follow.
Such a simple thing. I think I said this before on the last one. I was like, the first thing you do when you write a character is surely establish the basic name, age, favourite films.
I'm not quite sure how old Mitch and Craig are meant to be now. In this story, I can't work it out.
God knows. God knows. It'd be nice, like, surely you write a treatment before you write a series, right? Which says all this stuff in it. It'd be nice to try and get hold of the treatment for Baywatch Series 1. I doubt they did. I doubt they're just making it up on the fly, aren't they?
And do you know what? It worked in this episode.
Yeah, I guess. Really, so is this the point where they have their argument then?
Yes, about the watch and the money and it goes from really polite to each other to really angry in about 5 seconds. They just really get angry really quickly. I know in Baywatch everything happens a little bit quicker because you only have like 12 minutes to tell a storyline. Lots of pent-up anger I've put.
I really believed it, you know. I thought they actually acted it quite well. you can't see this, but Dave is just looking victorious.
Dave's like, incredibly smug right now.
Nailed it. Yeah.
Keep saying positive things about this.
That doesn't mean I enjoyed the whole episode. It just means for that fraction of
I've always said the Craig and friendship is my favourite thing about what we've watched so far. And I think both good. But carry on.
Yeah. I think, that's what I was going to say, really, in that it made me wonder about their off-screen relationship. You know, sometimes when there are really good, intense scenes, I was thinking, does that indicate that they get on really well off-screen and therefore they work really well together? Or was there pent-up anger and frustration offset and it came out?
That's interesting.
Through the acting. And I just thought, I just want that to be true. You know how, like in Sex and the City, Sarah Jessica Parker and Kim Cattrall really hated each other?
I did not know that.
And also another one, they really don't like each other. And also Leonardo DiCaprio and Claire Danes on Romeo and Juliet apparently didn't get
I'm going to drop a football reference to you, just for the male listeners. Also, like Andy Cole and Teddy Sheringham in the treble-winning season at Manchester United, they hated each other. But yet, they
Was that
1996?
1999. Oh, I had the 1996 poster on my wall because Eric Cantona, I liked him.
See, this is why we're friends, Hannah.
Actually, I didn't fancy Cantona. I liked the chat. Ooh, I can't tell. I fancied Ryan Giggs, to be clear.
I can't understand that as well. Ryan Giggs is a special man.
I think at this point we should say that Dave is so in love with Ryan Giggs that Ryan Giggs actually sent Dave a video message on his wedding day.
Yeah.
This is true. This is true.
I did not know this fact. What?
He said my name.
Oh yeah, my God.
Ryan Giggs sent a congratulatory video to Dave on his wedding day.
I shouldn't say this, but it was a personal highlight of the day. it wasn't, but it was very good.
When you celebrate your anniversary, do you just pretty much celebrate that?
My anniversary, funny enough, was Friday, and it comes up on Facebook, and I was like, sent it to the guys. I was like, do you remember when Ryan Giggs said my name? So, yeah.
Oh, Dave, that's so cool.
I think we should just skip back a bit, because we always have a go at Baywatch for being sexist, Dave. Football references, not just for the boys, by the way. So plenty of ladies out there that would know more about football.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, Sex and the City,
I definitely
for everyone.
Know more about Sex and the City than I do about football. So, you know, that's kind of... And it's very little about both, to be honest.
I could actually tell you quite a lot about Sex and the City as well. I've watched quite a lot of it. That's because I'm an absolute geek.
It's brilliant.
I wouldn't say it's brilliant, but it's some of it's good.
Where are we?
So they had the argument.
They have the argument. Then there's a bit in the locker room with Mitch and Trevor. Is that the next bit? Mitch and Trevor. Trevor's basically saying, oh, good on you, Mitch, for like getting the girl and, you know, throwing that, you know, it's what I'd
fucking
do too. Yeah, I'd mess about with my best friend and get one over on a girl and stuff. And Mitch is looking really kind of, sort of depressed and sort of upset about it. And, you know, realizing that he's been Trevor-like.
Yeah. Have we, at this point, have we seen the weird montage when just Mitch and Alison are walking down the waves and really getting it, like, really sloppily in front of Craig when he's rubbing the boats down or whatever they're doing to get prepared for the race?
Yeah, I think that led up to the argument, didn't it? Because the argument started because Mitch said he'd be there with Craig at 8 o'clock and he didn't rock up till 10:30. So that montage.
To be fair, Rich,
kind of...
I'd be really angry if someone did that to me as well, though.
Yeah, especially. Yeah, me too.
I would not be happy.
Yeah.
Especially as he didn't even apologise.
No.
Yeah.
It was just like, what's your problem?
I said I'll be here just after 8. Yes, and now it's 10:30, you dick.
Yeah.
It's not a little bit after 8.
What we haven't spoken about is his purple top.
Oh, the. Yes, it's a wonderful top.
Wow. Wow. I mean, that was all sorts of his mum's top. That was surely not his. That was awful.
That could be the fashion.
Well, it was the fashion, clearly, but it was so, so terrible. I couldn't think of anything else. I couldn't concentrate on anything else but the awfulness of his off-the-shoulder cropped purple top.
Oh, that is a weird choice from the 90s.
It was like a Fame top. You'd wear that in Fame with some leg warmers.
Yeah,
maybe. Particularly awful. Maybe he borrowed it from Eddie. Because we know Eddie does have famously rubbish taste in tops.
Yeah.
So maybe Mitch borrowed it from Eddie.
Yeah, I think so.
I think Shawnee's going to make Eddie dress better.
Oh, could be right.
We should talk about that in a
second.
Could
be right. We'll talk about that later.
I thought that when he was rubbing down the boat or whatever they were doing and watching Mitch come from afar, it reminded me of the scene in Shawshank Redemption at the end when Tim Robbins is like working on the boat. And Morgan Freeman's walking up to him.
That's our movie reference for the week. We have to have a movie reference every time.
Yeah.
Tick.
There we go.
Tick. I hope to see my friend Andy Dufresne again. That's my Morgan Freeman impression.
Never ever do that impression again.
Oh my God. No, I disagree. Please do it again.
Oh dear. So anyway, Craig and Mitch have their argument, at which point Mitch accuses Craig of still having his diving watch that he lent him, and Craig accuses Mitch of not paying him his $2,000 for his Jeep. And then so Mitch storms off to go and find the check or something for the money or something, and for some odd reason has a filing cabinet in his kitchen. What? Why has he got a filing cabinet in his kitchen? What's that all about? Anyway, sat in his kitchen, going through the filing cabinet, Alison turns up. And it's quite obvious. Alison does not like Craig. She's very anti-Craig in this bit, isn't she? She's quite vicious about him.
That's because Craig went to New York.
Yeah.
No wonder. I reckon Alison doesn't even like Mitch. She did it because Mitch is Craig's best friend.
Well, I don't know. I think that's
vindictive.
That would be a good storyline, but I don't think that's what they intended. But
yeah,
I think
that would have been a good story.
I don't know. I think she genuinely does like Mitch, and she genuinely always has liked Mitch. But she says kind of like, it's been a long time, but Craig should just get over it. And I'm like, well, why do you hate Craig so much? It's been a long time. You should just get over it too. And then she kind of has a bit of a go at Mitch because he's worried about his friend and leaves. She's just like, I can't do this anymore. I'm out, kind of thing. And I was like, she's just a bit of a twat. I just wasn't very nice.
Yeah, to not acknowledge that it was probably a bit awkward for everybody involved and not great.
At least talk about it.
Yeah.
Every time she kissed Mitch, I'm pretty sure she made sure Craig was watching. I mean, he was always creepily over the the banister of the stairs or the boat.
Or Hobie. Or poor little Hobie.
There. Yeah.
Having to watch his dad getting on with another woman. Jesus.
Yeah. I can't remember how this story ended. They just made up. Oh, no. They did the race. So they both didn't like each other. They got in a boat and they were still wearing their helmets. There was a crowd watching. Captain Thorpe was there doing his cameo, which was nice.
Can we talk about this hideous boat race? Because...
I think we're there.
Not... Okay, we've already mentioned why the hell are they wearing helmets. I think it's so that they can cover up the fact that it's definitely not Mitch and Craig rowing that boat. So every time they do a cutaway shot, that someone blonde is rowing in Craig's place. Someone with blonde curly hair coming out the bottom of that helmet. That is definitely not Craig. And I'm pretty sure, as usual, Mitch is new me. That is not Mitch. That's new me rowing that boat.
Yeah, it's Mike.
I'd be really pissed off because the Port Royal boat jumped the start by about 10 seconds. Like, they had gone before everyone else started. And also, what was the deal with the guys in the red helmets, Mitch and Craig's friends? Every wide shot, they were on the left. And then every close-up, they were on the right. It was really annoying me. I was like, stop moving the boat around.
I was confused.
Were you really trying to follow the race?
It was just glaring at me. It was just like every shot, they were in a different place. I was like, just stop it. Just get it right, for God's sake.
Continuity.
I can understand why they couldn't just let them film them row the boat. They're already in the boat on the water. I don't understand the health and safety aspect, but they were like, but we can't have them actually do the race. That's mental. But
stuntman to do a boat race.
It's just
can you imagine
rowing.
Tom Cruise.
You're already on the ocean, lads. We're already set up for shots. What's the...
Maybe they didn't want them to get sweaty. What kind of clauses in their contract that means that they...
No physical exercise.
...the sea on a show that is about the sea. Yeah. Just one thing, just to go back a little bit. What was weird was that I thought they'd already made up. Because, so before they got on the boat, they had that moment where they were like, that was it. They took down the guy that stole the car. And then they had this interaction where it was like they came together and they were like, so I'll see you on the boat race. And that little exchange felt like that was them coming together and making up and going, let's just put this.
They had a big old homoerotic roll in the water, didn't they? Where they all kind of like...
Oh, yes.
Yeah, and And so then, and afterwards they sort of were like, all right, we're mates again. This is all cool. It took it took this little tussle to bring us back together. So then when they started arguing again, I was like, oh, hang on, so they haven't made up. Oh, yeah, it needed a showdown, but it was just all very...
They did have a showdown. They stopped. They put their paddles down. Imagine they were guns for a second. They put their guns down and they had it face to face. They chatted it out like real men and best friends.
Well, sort of.
And then they... kind of hugged.
And that was fine.
And then they did the superhuman thing, because they were well back. And then they...
Wow, thank you. And this is my biggest problem of the whole episode, was how superhuman is their rowing that they came back from stopping for about 35 seconds and then overtook everybody that had been continuing.
That was like some
time.
Steve Redgrave stuff.
I mean,
that was ridiculous.
Redgrave, I was going to say.
I also like the fact that Mitch drops the on the wide shot. Mitch, whoever it is, drops his oars like before they get to the line, and then they go back to a tight shot where he's still holding his oars, and then he drops them.
There was another bit where he drops them and you see him kind of panic that he thinks they're going to fall into the water and forgets that they're locked in. But yeah, that was, they just decided not to retake that. They just thought they'd just not bother. It just
this whole the whole boat thing was
authenticity.
It was just ridiculous. I mean, I can kind of see where you're coming from, Dave, that it was a problem and it had a resolution, and that is not something you can always say for an episode of Baywatch, but it was more EastEnders than it was Baywatch. You know, it wasn't a kind of, we didn't have any, there wasn't any kind of action, there wasn't any adventure to this bit, you know, like
that was in the other storyline, Rich.
But my memory of Baywatch is people in the water. My memories of it from when I used to watch in the Pamela Anderson days before Gladiators is people being saved that were drowning. Classic, as you would expect, Baywatch. And in my head and in my memory, that's what happened in most episodes, but we've seen barely any of that.
In the last three episodes, no one's been saved out of the water.
Disappoints me.
Probably at this point, the last four.
It needs a classic get back to basic, save somebody floundering in the water, Riptide, don't know what it needs to be, pirate ship.
We had a pirate ship.
Water-based.
We had pirates, yeah. Rubbish pirates. Okay. Genuinely, that was the worst episode of the series. The one with the pirates. That was terrible. Mainly because it was a Hobie story, and we always hate the Hobie stories.
Until he becomes Jeremy Jackson, and then it all changes.
I don't know when it would.
I don't think the good Baywatch, like the Baywatch we remember, turns up until series three. I think series one carries on with the lot. Apparently, season two is also a lot of men just running around being manly. Yeah, this is definitely. I think we've all, everyone that's come on and said, like, even we had Kate the other day, and she's like, this is not how I remember Baywatch.
No.
No one seems to remember the first season, and I think that's what makes it so interesting, personally.
It's yeah.
Different times, man.
I'm quite looking forward to series three now.
Yeah, just got to get there. And that leads us on. So that's the end of that storyline, right? There's nothing. They make up?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They make up in about 10 seconds, and everything's all right again after, you know, 12 years of suppressing these emotions, 12 seconds of talking, they've sorted it all out. Yeah. Good one, Baywatch.
So normal question, Rich, this is to you more. Do we think Alison's going to become a character in future?
No, of course not, because that would be far too logical.
Every week.
But that's good because there's so many. There are so many characters. Remember at the beginning, remember the first episodes where there were about 1,700 characters? They have whittled them down a little bit.
They've kind of not concentrated on the good ones. Like we've established, like episodes that are Jill centric are good episodes, but they're very there's been one this whole series. But I mean, even story.
I was like, it's been a Jill episode.
But I mean, even sort of Jill centric stories are better. It was the best episode of the series, definitely.
It was like a murder mystery whodunit episode. It was
cool.
It was.
Yeah.
I'll have to go back and watch
pool,
that one.
Yeah, the drowning pool is that one. The drowning.
Title's nothing to do with the story, as usual.
Obviously.
But yeah, that was good. Yeah. You know, there are some good actors. We like Garner. Garner's really good. The more Garner, the better.
Garner's badass. We'll talk about him in a minute because he looks fucking brilliant in a scene.
One quick question, off topic. Did the lawyer thing ever get resolved?
Yes.
He did and started his own practice, which he does part-time,
from his home.
But his lifeguarding.
Oh, so that I knew, but he hasn't given it up completely. He is still lawyering just as and when.
But we haven't seen him doing. We haven't seen him do any lawyering in a while.
Right. Okay. So they're just hoping we'll forget.
Once in a while, there's a flippant remark like he's going to see a client, and it's not That's about it.
Right. They just trying to phase that out.
You need to know now is that Trevor has become a part-time member of Baywatch.
Yes, I couldn't believe it.
Yep, he's been part of rookie school the weekend away. He passed. He came second, but number one was taking steroids. So officially he is number one in the...
A doping scandal. Wow. How ahead of its time.
At one point we felt very sorry for Trevor. He got played over by a girl. You've missed a lot. It's
Oh, wow.
He's now a very liked character by me and Rich.
Yeah, until this episode.
Well, I thought that. Yeah, when first few things, I thought, yeah, oh, he's turned. One, he works for Baywatch, but also he seems that he's become more decent until his interaction then with Mitch when he was awful again.
The interaction with Eddie as well, when he takes pride in telling him that his car stole.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
The smile on his face, like, oh. Yeah. You little twat.
Well, yeah. He's just giving away the ending of that episode, of that storyline, Dave.
Oh, yeah.
He still works at the club, though, so once in a while he still is back in the green shorts.
Right.
But he's now he's allowed to save people in the water, because at one point his jurisdiction ended at the water,
didn't it?
Rich? So he's not really a lifeguard.
Makes perfect sense for somebody that works on a beach.
Listen to myself talk about the in-depth knowledge of the series so far has made me question everything about my life.
Dave, you can go on Mastermind and have Baywatch Series 1 as your specialist subject.
Well, we've got to finish it soon. Let's talk about... Would we possibly say the main storyline of this story?
No, I think the other one's the main one, isn't it? They're 50-50, aren't they, really?
Well, there's only two storylines. That's how it works, Rich.
No, because you could have one storyline that's half an hour and one that's 10 minutes. You know, Baywatch does like to do that. But I think this time that they were kind of 50-50, weren't they? And
I liked
this
story.
You?
I liked it. Yeah. How can you not? It set the characters up. There's Eddie with the other lifeguard we've never seen, never heard of, never met.
Oh, okay. That was my other question. Did we know him?
No, we've...
Because it seemed like we should.
And I've written his name down. His name is Corey. He only gets named that once in the whole episode, I'm pretty sure. Because for a while I was like, I don't know who this character is. It sets out pretty quickly what the plan is of that there's two people. There's Corey and the car stealer, Marv.
Who we
know he's a bad guy because he wears trousers on the beach.
There we go.
We found that out in many episodes.
Yeah.
Jeans.
Denim on the beach, that is a red flag.
Wow.
Only bad guys wear... That's a bad guy straight away.
Noted.
They set that out that they're a team that's, you know, he goes, tells Marv about the cars or that they're in the parking lot. And then, obviously, the middle bit is they're dragging Eddie into it. And the end is the brilliant, brilliant ending, which I won't ruin now. Your faces.
I missed the brilliant ending.
I mean, it was okay.
I missed the brilliant ending. Okay.
Anyway, we'll get there.
Yeah, essentially just what Dave said is that there is a new lifeguard called Corey. We don't know if he's a new lifeguard or if he's been around a long time. We've not seen him before. He's dodgy from the start. He's essentially tipping off car thief about nice cars that have been parked by the beach that this car thief can steal. Him and Eddie seem to be quite close, and Eddie is talking about how he wants a car, but he can't afford anything good. So this Corey guy said, don't worry, give me $2,000 and I'll get you a nice car. And what he does is he takes Eddie's $2,000 and he gets his mate Marv to steal him a pretty nice convertible red Mustang. It's 60s Mustang.
It's
really pretty nice. And obviously Eddie is over the moon. You know, they play the same joke twice where Corey turns up and takes Eddie to a car and it's all right. It's a bit crappy. And Eddie's like, hey, that's cool. Thanks, man. And he's like, that's not your car. This is your car. And then when Eddie shows Shawnee his car later, he does exactly the same joke. He takes her to a crappy old Volkswagen.
Exactly. Yes, I noticed that.
This is my joke.
I thought the crappy old Volkswagen had more character.
I would much rather have I'd much rather a Mustang, to be honest, but I do like a Mark 1
Golf.
I have to say.
So
nice. Cars are really easy to steal in the 90s, it would seem. No immobilisers or locks to speak of. Very, very easy to steal.
Mm-hmm. Do you know what I really enjoyed? I enjoyed the sound effect of when Marv put his bag down on the floor and there was just this clank. I was like, oh, Mamma Mia. Foley artist is having a wonderful day today on this.
What I noticed was that he stole the car the first time with, shoved something in the window, didn't he? But then the other time he stole a car, he smashed through the window.
Yeah, it wasn't very subtle.
Which felt unnecessary, given that he clearly had the skills to be able to steal it in a much more sophisticated way.
Yeah, And I mean, nothing really happens.
It was just more dramatic, I guess.
And they tried to make Marv really intimidating. He's not really that
intimidating at all. Especially when he stood next to Corey, who must be like 6'6", because he's like a giant compared to Eddie. And
yeah,
and yeah, I mean, the Marv is just really not intimidating. And so, it's, I mean, God knows how thick Eddie has to be to realise that this car is not, you know, this is too good to be true for $2,000. You know, that's ridiculous.
Mm.
But anyway, he gets really happy. He takes Shawnee to see his car. There's an incredibly awkward car wash montage, which is essentially an excuse to see Eddie to see Shawnee in a wet t-shirt again. Like, this just happens far too often.
Yeah. They were like, how do we inject a bit of sex appeal to keep... Because this is Baywatch and we have to. And actually, her t-shirt didn't get quite as wet as I thought it was going to.
Yeah, Rich.
I expected it. I thought it was going to get a whole hog. They actually
but it wasn't
it back
sexy, was it?
Bit,
I mean, it's not just was, me. Yeah. I mean, that wasn't sexy. It was just weird. And
if it's one thing Baywatch can't do, it's sexy just, at this point. They haven't found that formula. It's like the first time you see that woman walk onto the beach in the opening of this storyline, and it goes on for about 5 minutes. And I'm not quite sure if we're meant to think she's sexy. She keeps just walking around the chair.
Unrolled a towel.
Yeah.
Made the towel.
Are they trying to make this?
Got her chair. I was like, come on. Yeah. She's like, sit down.
Doesn't even sit down. She just... Why would you hide your keys there? Would you put your keys just on your own?
I think that's something you would do in the old days, though. Like, when people used to leave there just... front doors open and stuff. It was different times.
Maybe in like the 40s, not in the 90s, surely. I don't know, maybe. Maybe.
No, perhaps not.
Can we also talk about how ridiculously short Eddie is for his car? He needs a booster seat. Like, it's a bit where he's driving off.
Oh, bless him.
It's a bit where he's driving off
it.
With Shawnee, and Shawnee's in the passenger seat looking like a regular sized human, and there's just like the top of Eddie's head, like just about poking over the steering wheel.
It's sad because 70% of Eddie is also hair because he's got such a big mullet.
Such a good bouffant.
Oh, dear. Yeah.
It's when he's trying to be the tough guy later on he's squaring up to people and it doesn't work.
No.
When he's squaring up to Corey, like threatening him, like asking for his money back, and Corey is just looking down like, get off me, you ant.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's the next bit, isn't it?
Sorry, I think you might have said this, but was Corey new?
Yes, we've never met Corey.
We don't know if he's actually...
So when you said someone was new, I thought you meant Manon.
Corey.
No, we've never met that character.
No, we don't know if he's supposed to be a new lifeguard or if he's just one we've not seen before and Eddie's known him a long time or... we don't know, really. But
That's shocking because I really thought he'd been introduced. There was just no introduction to him whatsoever. That makes it even worse. I thought you were talking about the guy on the beach who was the one with very few lines.
No.
God. Wow.
No.
That is poor. So there was no... Because actually, I thought if they had a bit of backstory, then it would have made the fact that Eddie trusted him a bit more believable.
Yeah.
So in my head, I'd kind of created this backstory thinking, I must have missed it. It must have been in previous episodes. So they had this, like, you know, brotherly, you know, close friendship, certainly. A bit like Mitch. They were like the younger
Craig.
Mitch and, what's his name?
Craig.
Craig. But God.
I would have started the episode with those two in a bar hanging out together. I think that's how I would have started the episode. Showing that they have friendship away from the beach. But...
Well, it would have been time much better.
Well, we have to remember that Baywatch does not do backstory. You know, we established last week the week before that there's essentially more backstory in Hollyoaks than there is in Baywatch, and you know that's really not saying very much. You know, Baywatch does not have any backstory whatsoever. You just have to purely take it at face value, and you know, watch every episode as an individual kind of thing, and just. Be happy with that.
it's allowing new viewers just to join each week, and that's what they want.
But we're now at the point where Trevor has a look at Eddie's car, and then points out that it's stolen essentially, and that it you can't buy a $10,000 car for $2,000, and but the
turns out Trevor also knows everything about cars.
Yeah.
He drops car knowledge that I can't remember because I know nothing
about cars. Talks about, yes.
Carburetor. And he does. He said something about a carburetor.
And Eddie's surprised because he thinks all Trevor would know because he's Australian is about koalas and kangaroos.
Except cars in Australia, don't they?
Mildly stereotypical.
I think.
So Trevor gleefully points out to Eddie that the VIN number that has been filed off the engine block, which is a sure giveaway that a car is stolen. And so Eddie's not very happy.
Which what I like is that they didn't show that to the audience.
They could have actually had to have done it. And they surely have to return this car to its owner.
I was like, I'd love to know what that looks like, Baywatch. I'm sure you'll cut to it. No, you didn't. Fine. Move on. Don't prove to the audience that it is a stolen vehicle because, you know, why we have to trust it, Trevor at this instance, but it's fine. It's fine. Move on to the storyline.
So Eddie then confronts Corey and asks for his money back in the locker room and gets a bit heavy. And I love the fact that this is that Jill's pretty much only the only bit of Jill in the episode. But I love the fact that Jill basically motherly kind of ticks them off and gives them no fighting in here, boys. Take it outside, kind of, you know. And everyone's scared of Jill. And it's like, yeah, all right, do what we're told.
But they should, because she's the boss lady, isn't she?
She is more senior than. We're not quite sure how senior she is at one point. Because
they're kind of more rookie.
There's one point in her episode when we found out she's only lost one person to this job, as in only one person's died. So her record must be immaculate. She must be the...
Wow, yeah.
Or she's never been in the water.
So I say go her, because I thought that was good. It cements her as somebody actually a bit more senior in the barracks. It's not barracks. Whatever it is.
The company.
I don't know. Which is good. I think that's good that they do
it's
that.
It's annoying, because she's... what's her name? Jill. Sean Weatherly, is that her name? Good actress.
Yeah, she is.
And it's a shame. Every time she talks, I'm like, oh, Jill talks. And it's just a waste of an actress at the moment.
Yeah, shame.
But yeah,
so it doesn't really go anywhere because Jill breaks it up. But then Eddie then meets up with Corey later, kind of around the back, and Marv turns up, and they kind of convince Eddie that he can have his money back and keep the car if he then helps them also steal cars. Yeah. And Eddie says a brilliant line, which is, "Well, I do like money."
Yeah. Yeah. Which is why he's a lifeguard. The craziness, the ridiculousness that they thought that he would just go along with that I can't really speak, but that they accepted no risk that he might go straight to the police. They were just so trusting of him. He would be on board.
Got to be honest, I genuinely did think that Eddie was helping them steal cars. I genuinely did think.
Did
until
you?
The point where he actually nicked the keys, and I thought, hang on a minute, this is a little bit too set up. I genuinely did think that he was going along with it, and that he'd have some sort of guilty conscience, and then kind of row back on it later. But no, turns out that Eddie...
Is it because of his dodgy past, Rich?
Yeah, it is because of his dodgy past. Exactly. I thought, you know...
How dare you, sir? How dare you?
I prejudged Eddie, bless him, because of his dodgy Philadelphia past.
Eddie's a lot of things, and most of it is being a wanker and a dickhead and an absolute klutz. But he is not a bad person.
Well, we've found that out now, haven't we? We've found that out. So essentially, Eddie's got off camera. We don't see any of this. So he's gone to Garner and told him what's happened, and Garner has used Eddie in some sort of sting.
Do you reckon
operation.
He went to Garner or Mitch?
I think they got both, didn't they? I think Eddie would have got both of them together, Garner and Mitch together, and said, you know, this is what's happened.
You had to get Mitch in there somehow.
Yeah. Well, this didn't happen. We didn't see it, did we? So we don't know. But so obviously then.
Did you not think this is really exciting?
No, not really. No. No. Sorry.
Guys, there's gunshots, there's windscreen.
Well, yeah, that came out of nowhere, though,
well,
didn't it?
Actually, yeah, the gunshot really surprised me.
I was surprised. Yeah,
literally,
really
I was just like, this escalated really quickly. Like, this guy has gone yeah. from nicking a few cars on the beach to trying to murder police officers. Like, that. That did not.
Yeah.
Did not see
it
that.
It went a
coming.
Bit wild west.
So yeah, it's a sting operation. Eddie set them up. Eddie steals some keys, which and then gives them to Marv, which actually I think that in this instance Eddie has committed the crime rather than Marv because Eddie stole the keys, so he actually did the theft. But anyway, Marv took the keys, took the car, which wasn't even a very nice car. I don't think it wasn't like a you know sporty car or anything. I'm not sure why they were stealing that one. But then it's all a setup. Garner's there, looking suave, and a cop car comes around
looking
the corner.
Looking absolute like the Don that he is.
He does. Cop car comes around the corner. Marv somehow gets a gun. We've not seen anywhere in this that he has a gun. He somehow pulls out this gun and shoots the windscreen of the cop car, clearly trying to murder the policeman. But then kind of loses control and gets
Hang
skewered
on
a pipe.
Did you...
like, no, he doesn't. The car
Did
does.
Did you
sorry.
Notice... Well... Two things I need to talk about there. One, after you see the cop car, after it's been shot, the windscreen hasn't been shot. So apparently I read that on IMDb. So that's classic Baywatch.
I didn't see that. I missed that bit.
And two, didn't just drive into a pole. Gardner, the Don that he is, moves the pole in the way with just a simple push. He knew what was going. He knew what was going on. He planned that from the off-go. I'm not...
Yeah. That could have been really gruesome. Yeah,
it could have killed him.
Very Final Destination.
And then... Mitch, oh yeah, we haven't got to the bit when Mitch just punches someone for no apparent reason. Sorry, we'll get to that. So yeah, they catch a March and then Marv, sorry, and then they have to go after Corey, knocked out Eddie with the big orange float device, which apparently at this point's heavy. I'm not quite sure what it is.
Yeah, I thought they were buoyant and therefore very light.
They're a weapon.
Yeah.
And then Corey's on the run. Chase. And Corey does what every right-thinking person in Baywatch does, which is not run to the land, but runs to the sea to swim for it.
They what did he think
all
he was
do.
Swim to Japan?
Every time someone
swim
runs away, every episode that someone's trying to run away, they run to the sea. Why? Why? I don't get it.
And not only that, they're trying to outswim people whose job it is to be in the sea and swim past.
Yeah.
All I can work basically out, the only reason they do it is so they can have a big homoerotic cuddle fight in the surf. That's basically it.
Yeah. but that's
I'm
the bit where
that.
Mitch, for no reason, punches Corey in the face. Because Corey at this point, he's down. Craig's got him. And Mitch just said, bang! If that was now, you could sue.
Yeah,
could sue him.
He'd be, yeah. Well, now they wouldn't be able to do anything. They wouldn't even be able to chase him. They'd have to put
They shouldn't chase him anyway because he's...
to run down the beach.
Lifeguard, this is the police job. They're all there on the... I don't know. Yeah. Every time I don't understand where the police are, but at least they were involved somewhere on this one. But I don't understand. Yeah. I thought it was great. I was well into it. I was like, yes!
Aw, I'm really glad you had a nice experience watching it.
Enjoyed last week's, wasn't that great? The week before was just confusing, but it was entertaining for other reasons.
I thought last week's was better than this week's.
Well, I'm glad this one was, like, give
but
you...
There we go.
You're wrong. But that's where this episode ends. Right? Everyone's happy again, but Eddie has to give away his car, and he seems confused about that, why he has to give away his stolen car back to the police.
Because they have to give it back to the person whose car it actually is.
Yeah, he's like, but I told you about it.
Is that how it works? No, you damn shit.
Oh, God.
I can't see why it's got the 5.6 on IMDb. I would at least put that as a 6.5 and more of the positivity bracket than some of the other episodes. So. Hannah, did you enjoy this episode?
I don't. The thing is, so we'd had a bit of a WhatsApp chat before, hadn't we? And you'd set it up and sort of said it wasn't going to be.
No, I didn't say that.
And then
I said you've done two storylines. So I said it wouldn't take us long to talk about it, and here we are, an hour and 10 minutes talking about it. And I was like, oh no, we'll get this one quick because there's not as much kerfuffle and rubbish subplots going on. There's two solid, Rich, I'm looking at you, solid storylines.
I'm not saying they're not solid. They just weren't very good. They were well-written stories for the first time in a while. We've had two well-written stories. They were just boring.
No!
And you have to think, though, I've come from the dizzy heights of Laurie and the murders and the, like, it was all going on back in the early days. So this, exactly. So this was a little, and actually one of the episodes was when the girl was knocked off the...
the jet ski.
Yeah, the jet ski episode. I mean, those were some meaty, action-packed episodes. So this was quite lackluster.
I have to say,
I'm afraid.
Since the first four or five episodes, it's dipped. There's three or four episodes in the middle there that were hard work. Like Message in a Bottle, Second Wave was one of them. Drowning Pool was good. Cruise Ship. Oh, Hannah, we should talk this off camera. Cruise Ship, there's an episode called Cruise Ship, which involves a domestic abuse storyline, right? But the main villain of the episode is Bryan Cranston, who's driving his party boat too far.
I'm going to circle back to that one. That and the Jill episode.
It's bizarre.
Okay. All right. We'll pick this up offline.
We'll talk about it in a minute. But we should talk about next week's episode, unless anyone's got anything else to cover about this week's episode. I think we've covered it all. It's a fantastic episode. People should watch.
I think we are divided. I think it's safe to say on how good this episode was. I didn't think it was the worst episode. I didn't think it should have the worst IMDb rating. That's definitely Message in a Bottle. This isn't that. But I was back to not enjoying it again. I actually quite enjoyed last week's, and I quite enjoyed the Cretin of the Shallows one before that. Even though I had to watch it three times to understand
which
it,
which is fantastic.
I know.
Oh, what a great title!
Also, Hannah, circle around back to that one. It's fantastic.
I'm just gonna have to watch more. Like, oh no, get back involved.
Yeah, I was gonna say, even though it took three watches to understand it, I still preferred that just because I didn't feel that there was this it just felt a bit empty this episode. We've been crying out for a while for them to do less storylines. The time they do less storylines and I'm complaining that it wasn't action packed.
Exactly.
I know.
I am not. I was definitely a positive. So next week's episode's got a six out of 10 rating on IMDb. I don't know if that entices you to watch it. And it's called Armoured Car. So if this is not about an armoured car at some point, I'll be surprised.
We've just had a car storyline. A whole
thing. Also, what's an armoured car going to do on the beach? Who's driving an armoured car on the beach?
I'll read you the bio and then I'll let you know because I think it's going to be a good one. Okay, here it is. It says, Jill teams up with Trevor to win a beach volleyball tournament, but all she really wants is to beat her ex's team.
That's it. That's
no matter what.
Dave. I'm in. You had me at Jill.
That sounds like a good episode. I was just about to say, Jill and Trevor.
Here's the bit about the armored 100%. Car. Eddie and Shawnee try to rescue a child trapped in a crashed armored car that's about to fall into the sea. Ooh.
Oh, it was always going to be a good episode after a shit one. It had to be. That always happens. It's like when you have a really, productive day at work, and then you go, "Oh, this is amazing! I'm getting through." So, and then it's always followed by a really rubbish, unproductive one, or vice versa. This is what's happened here. They put all their energy. They had a bad week, and they put all their energy into the next one. I can see it. It's going to be a good
really
one.
A pain.
Next week, we're just going to have montages of volleyball. That's all it's going to be.
Yeah, true.
It's going to be 45 minutes of just slow-mo, just Top Gun.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
You know, need for speed kind of shit.
I'm not being funny, but I would prefer that to weird montages of rowing and car washing and, like, whatever the first one was. God knows. But lifeguard games. But give me volleyball montages any time. At least I understand that. I'm quite looking forward to next week. I think good. It sounds like only two storylines again, which is good. Unless they do that thing where they don't mention one of them, which they've done a few times. So maybe there'll be a storyline they've not mentioned. Yeah, or two of them. One. Like, yeah, that would be fun. But yeah, I'm quite looking forward to next week, actually. And yeah, that should be good.
Me too.
So thank you for joining us on a really bad one, Han.
You are welcome. It was good to get back involved, to be honest. Get back in the swing of things.
Thank you for listening, listeners. Thank you for tuning in on Apple Podcast or Google Podcast or Spotify.
Oh, or others, you're kidding me. Such a pro,
as it's known. I know. We found out, Han, that it's no point advertising where we're being played, because people are already listening to it. So it's all about... You can listen to us on Apple. Yes, we know we're listening to you, the podcast, already.
Yeah. We're already there.
People already
that's a good point.
Know where we are.
Aren't you supposed to say about subscribing or following or liking? Engagement
like and subscribe. Look at us, ratings if that's possible.
Yeah. Tell your friends.
Podcast fans.
Look out for the billboards.
Yeah, just tell your mates, basically. That's it. We've had a laugh. Thanks, Hannah, for joining us again.
Yeah, I was just going to say, tell your friends, you don't have to like Baywatch to like this podcast. We don't most of the time. And it's just a fun thing to talk about. But don't forget, we are on social media. So we do have Facebook and Twitter and IMDb. And you can find us at IMDb on Instagram. You can find us if you...
The other week we're on LinkedIn, so we're getting better.
We were on LinkedIn the other week, but we're not. You can find us on Instagram. If you like a Noomi GIF, then join us on Facebook, because that's basically all I like to post on there is a nice Noomi GIF for everyone. Yeah. If you like constant updates or witty banter, then that's Twitter, because Dave does that bit. And Instagram's just kind of a bit of a mishmash of both of them, really. But yeah, you'll find us at the Baywatch Pod or at the Baywatched Pod. So yeah, go and follow us on social media.
Yeah, we've got about 9 episodes left of this series, I think. So we're now on I like to think we're on the home straight.
Just the 9 left.
I've read a couple of the bios of the coming, and some of them are ridiculous. Honestly, there's one called Eclipse, and I can't wait for it. Thanks, Rich, as ever.
Cheers. Thank you.
Thanks, Hannah.
Thanks to
you guys.
Thanks
for me. Thanks for listening. See you next week. Or 2 weeks. But just thanks. So bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.